SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Yura Damarung, I'm Luana Grant, Executive Producer of NITV Radio. I'll be your host for this special episode of Australia Explained. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples have survived for thousands of years living sustainably and harmoniously due to their deep knowledge and protection of their country. This includes First Nations medicinal practices, which is an intricate mixture of the tangible and the spiritual. In this episode, we delve into how understanding and respecting Indigenous traditional medicine may offer valuable insights to enhancing the effectiveness and inclusivity of today's healthcare settings. For First Nations peoples, health encompasses more than just the absence of disease or illness. It is a holistic concept characterised by the complex interplay of physical, emotional, social, and spiritual aspects of well-being. Therefore, Indigenous traditional medicine isn't solely focused on treating the physical ailments. It also seeks to balance between the various dimensions of well-being. Dr. Alana Gal is a Tjuwalawai woman from the northeast coast of Lutruwita, a postdoctoral research fellow in naturopathic medicine at Southern Cross University. She says traditional medicine has always been a part of her life.
Traditional medicine for me is something that I have been quite passionate about since I was young. Back home, we would always use different natural medicines and things like that. And my dad would always go out hunting and, you know, all the different practices. So, you know, different ceremonies and spirituality was all just a big part of my life.
People often refer to traditional medicine as bush medicine, but Dr. Gal says this isn't entirely accurate.
Bush is a certain type of landscape in Australia, and not everything comes from the bush. So while I understand there's that terminology, I think that's fine and people can use that. But it then makes people think it's just about what I would call like a physical medicine. So like an inhaled or a topical or an ingested medicine. But our medicines are actually far more than that.
She explains further.
There's those physical medicines, but you've also got our native foods as medicines, but it's used off like specific health properties, not just for nourishment. So that's when it's actually a medicine as well. But we've got healing ceremonies, we've got spiritual medicine, we've got traditional healers, and we also see our country, so our land, as a healer as well. So we have like country of medicine as well. But then underpinning all of that is what people are commonly talking about now as our ways of knowing, being and doing.
Dr. Gal holds multiple public advocacy roles, including Director of Indigenous Traditional Medicine for Traditional Complementary and Integrative Medicine. She views their traditional medicine as a paradigm.
So we have to think about how we consider the world, our worldview, as this like holistic entity of different interconnected parts that can't be separated. And so I think of it as a distinct medical paradigm myself. And even according to modern definitions of what a paradigm of medicine is, all the pieces are there. And so I think by people saying, oh, it's just this, it's just that, you know, they're actually taking away from the complexity of this whole system of medicine.
Dr. Gal's passion for traditional medicine was further ignited when she realised that this traditional knowledge was not protected.
The reality is our knowledges are not protected. So that means it's not safe for us to actually give that knowledge out freely, because different companies, mostly what they call like big pharma, big cosmetica and, you know, big agriculture, they can just come along, take that knowledge and go use it and commercialise it and make a whole bunch of money off it.
She explains that without proper protection, the very people who own this knowledge may not be able to access and benefit from them, which also raises concerns about sustainability. But there is so much benefit in this knowledge that the world can gain from. Dr. Gao's long-term goal is to have a system in place so that this knowledge can be shared for the benefit of all human planetary health.
There's wisdom that we have about how to look after the Earth, about how to do medicine in ways that we've been doing since forever. And if we're able to actually harness that knowledge for today, then we're actually able to make a difference with what's happening today. You know, we have things like antibiotic-resistant strains of microbes and things that are causing a lot of trouble globally at the moment, where they're not able to do anything about it. And they are looking to traditional medicine to find a solution to those.
Descendant of Bungari and Matora and an analytical chemist, Brett Rowling, works closely with Dr. Gao. He adds that traditional medicine and modern medicine, though seemingly opposites, can complement each other, allowing for two different unique views.
One is it's our oral story, teachings and morals with the secrets, and the other side is the white fellow way of working, the data and the analysis. And they're two polar opposites. So if you look at it as a society, it's a funny sort of situation because for us, we look into the environment rather than at it, which is how white fellas do. And while we're thinking survival, they're often thinking scenery. They're two very complementary ways, but they're two opposite ways of looking.
He provides an example.
For example, people use paracetamol so we can see, you know, how it works because we collect all this data to prove how it actually works. Whereas for ours is shown over a long period of time, but it's an oral story and they do work and they work very effectively.
Traditional medicine focuses not only on physical health, but also on spiritual well-being, an aspect often missing in modern medicine. Debbie Watson is a Nunkari or traditional Aboriginal healer from Pipalyut Jara in the Anangu Pitjantjatjara Yunkunjatjara lands in South Australia. Nunkari healing has been practiced for 60,000 years. The knowledge has been passed down through generations.
When I was with my father, I started learning how to heal people through spiritual healing. He was a healer and my father taught me how to heal. He taught me to become a healer, like a strong healer.
She says it's the connection to their ancestors that allows Nunkaris to work with the spirits to manage pain, trauma and anxiety, to name a few.
I heal people with my hand. I see inside, I feel the energy and what they are inside, you know, pain. Work with the spirit, you know, people's spirit are really sad. And blockage, sometimes the blockage causes a lot of pain. You know, I'm looking at the spirit, you know, people's spirit. The spirit, it's connected to her.
Ms. Watson is also a co-founder of the Anangu Nunkari Jutaku Aboriginal Corporation, ANTAC, Australia's first Aboriginal Healers Association. It supports and maintains their centuries-old practice while providing healing services to Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples. Dr. Francesca Panzeroni works closely with Ms. Watson as the founder and CEO of ANTAC. She came to Australia from Italy in 2001 to study law at the University of Sydney. While her background was on international human rights law and Indigenous people's rights to self-determination, her curiosity about Aboriginal traditional medicine led her to dive into the unknown.
I noticed in this literature that when it was referring to Indigenous traditional medicine in Australia, all the chapters was on Chinese traditional medicine. That kind of prompted me to, investigate it. Oh, it sounds odd to me. Yeah, I had this curiosity of finding out. It was just a question in my mind. Does Aboriginal traditional medicine exist nowadays in Australia?
After a number of consultations with Nunkaris in the region and their community, Dr. Panzeroni realised the need for Indigenous people to access their ancient form of healing.
People really wanted them. It wasn't just like a theory. You know, people were feeling better. People needed them. Mostly Aboriginal people, but also, you know, there is a lot of non-Aboriginal people who currently demand, like ask for Nunkari healing.
ANTAC is aiming to make traditional Aboriginal healing as part of the mainstream healthcare system. Dr. Panzeroni believes that traditional healing and modern medicine can work in harmony.
It does not replace the biomedical model, but, you know, it can go hand in hand with it and tap into aspects of our human health and well-being that is not contemplated within the biomedical model. So I'm referring to the spirit. I'm referring to, you know, the cultural understanding of illness, because illness is not just a pathology. So being unhealthy or being unwell, it's a broader concept that presenting with a pathology.
Understanding and respecting Indigenous knowledge of medicine may be the key to providing more holistic and culturally sensitive care in our healthcare setting today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Yumi Obar. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian, and I'm Luana Grant. Until next time.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.